It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Jesus Christ says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." So he was able to bear his cross. But the other people start thinking, he's not capable, he might die on the road. So they found a person. Now this person is a black brother, strong and healthy, maybe 6 feet tall and strong, and he was coming from his work. That means he was strong working in the field. And so they compelled him by force, "Hey, take the cross." If you see in movie, the man might say, "Oh, I don't want to do it." But I believe this man might have done this willingly. Looking at Jesus, heard about Jesus, and now he thinks, "This is my chance to touch Jesus or be part of his ministry." And he was willingly taking the cross. Jesus was still holding the cross. So I think he supported him or he tried to help him out. But I believe if the blood of Jesus touched that man will be never be the same. He already got saved. Maybe if you do the research on this man, I believe through him, many, many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we see even the book of Acts, some of this man and his family members came to Christ. So the point I'm making, this man got a golden opportunity. Same way, think about that Barabbas. The governor says, "You want Barabbas or Christ?" They said, "I want Barabbas." So because of Jesus Christ, Barabbas was set free. He was in the death penalty, right? He was going to die. He had no chance to get out. But we read in a book of Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus Christ took the scroll and started reading. And if you read in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 onwards, he said he came to set captive free. So in the last minute that Barabbas got chance to be set free, and this Simon got a chance to have a touch of Jesus Christ in his life. Verse 33.
"And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink."
When they say the place called Golgotha, what is the meaning? He says, place of the skull. It's not only meaning of the place of the skull. They were killing people on that mountain, hundreds and thousands of people. And so they will kill, they might throw their body, maybe dogs will their flesh, and the bones will be there, and the skull will be still there. And so the place was called place of the skull, means Golgotha. Okay, and then he says, when he was hanging on the cross, they thought maybe he is very tired and weary, so let's give him some kind of vinegar mixed with a gall. That's like a bitter kind of herb. And they put that gall like some kind of, in a drink. They put something, and so you forget your pain, just like a liquor. When you are hurting and you are pain, and they drink some liquor and they forget the pain, even though they are hurting, they don't feel it. So they thought, "We will give it to him, but he didn't take it. Psalm 69 and verse 21, this was already prophesied.
"They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink."
Gall for my meat. This means I was hungry. Nobody was concerned about his food and drink, or he's sweating, or what's happening to him, he's bleeding. Nobody wanted to give him anything. He said, "What they gave me? When I was hungry, they gave him a gall. And when you are thirsty, they give me the vinegar. Now, if you are really thirsty and somebody gives you some kind of hot liquor, you will not be satisfied. Now, somebody says, what are you saying about the hot? Actually, I saw in India, they making this liquor. And when it comes from the heat and when they put it on the some kind of bottle, when you touch the bottle, it's hot. And not only that, they take and test it, they dip the finger and do like this and put a match, you can see the fire. And so that's the kind of liquor people are drinking. That is not going to quench your thirst, but you will forget your pain for a while. Go back to Matthew, verse 35.
And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.
Okay, that's also prophecy fulfilled, is in Psalm 22. Okay, so everything what happened to Jesus is prophesied, and everything happened according to the word of God. And now, they were thinking about this garment. I don't know who made this gown. I don't know Mary made it. Or I don't know this was supernatural kind of gown. They found out this was no seams or no even stitches or no even you can find any opening or closing where it finished. And so they got a lot and got the rope for themselves. People might be still looking for the robe. Okay, verse 36.
And sitting down, they watched him there.
And now, remember this word. Sitting down, they watched him there. Who are they? We will find out. Okay.
And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Now, when this kind of lettering governor did, they say, "No, we don't want this way." You say, Jesus says, "I am the King of Jews." They say, "No, whatever I wrote, I'm not going to change it." At least that time, that governor has so much, at least authority. He said, "Whatever I wrote, I'm not going to change it." So he wanted to say, "This is King of the Jews." Okay, verse 38.
Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth.
Okay, now, just think. These people are saying, he said he's a Son of God, and if he comes down from the cross, we will believe. Do you think they were telling the truth? No. He did signs and wonders and miracles. Lazarus was in his grave for 4 days, and he brought him out, and they wanted to kill Lazarus, and they wanted to kill Jesus. Coming out of the cross was an easy thing. But Jesus did not go on the cross to come down from the cross. We just learned last week, if you remember, he wanted to go to cross. He did not want to die in a Gethsemane. So dying on the cross is a curse, and he wanted us to be redeemed from the curse. And we read that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And so Jesus Christ didn't want to come from the cross to just to please these people. What was his goal? To please the Father, not to please those people to come down. He came to die on the cross of Calvary, and the word of God says he was obedient unto death. So he wanted to do the will of God. And now we're reading verse 44. All these two thieves in two sides, and both of these thieves also saying the same thing. Means all other people were accusing to Jesus Christ, and these both thieves did the same. Now somebody says, oh no, one thief repented. But when he repented, it's in the book of Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Another thief repented when Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So one thief sitting there and saying, hey, we accused him, we mocked him, and he still forgave us. That's the time he asked Jesus to remember him. Go ahead. Luke 23:39-43.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
See what happened here? First, both of them accused Christ. When Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He was not talking about the only Jewish people and other people, but he was saying, this thief right in aside of me, and they don't know what they're doing. That's why one of them confessed, and Jesus Christ promised him, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, go back to the Matthew chapter 27, starting from verse 45.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Now this also a prophecy fulfilling. Go to the Psalm 22 verse 1.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
Now, if you read on further, somebody start thinking, oh, he's calling the Elijah, you know, calling, let him, prophet, come and help him and things like that. But he said, my God, why thou forsaken me? Now somebody says, why it happened? If he was a religious man, he was a righteous man, why it happened to him? And many people will say, if the religious man, it should not happen to him. But Jesus Christ came as a Lamb of God, and he wanted to die for mankind. And that was the will of God, and that was the will of the Son also. Then what happened on the cross? The Word of God says, he did not commit any sin, but God put our sin on him. Read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And so our sin were laid on him, so he became sin for us.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
See, so he didn't have sin. Our sin were laid on him. And so when God is seeing him, he is not seeing now a son of God. What is he seeing? A sinner. The sin laid on him. And so our God is a holy God. And so our God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. So he might have turned his face other way. And it was not for many years or many months. Split second. But that split second, the separation from the Father, it was like a greatest pain Jesus Christ ever bore into this world. So he was crying out of his heart, my God, why they have forsaken me? And you can read, there are several other scriptures you can read. In Isaiah chapter 53 also, he says, our sin was laid on him. So Jesus Christ became sin for us so we can have the righteousness of God. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew, chapter 27, starting from verse 47.
Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
Now see, first time they gave gall and vinegar, Jesus Christ didn't take it, and even again they wanted to give it, and some other gospel they say he will taste it, but I think he tasted means as soon as he touched his lips or tongue, he refused it. He didn't take it. They wanted him to get this vinegar or get this drink and hang on the cross for a longer period of time and don't die sooner so we can mock him the more. They wanted to make more fun of him. But Matthew cut short his timing. If you remember, in a Good Friday, we studied about the seven words of Jesus Christ, and we took almost 3 hours to finish it. And so we are not going through right now all those seven verses, but here he cut short Matthew and his sayings, and simply he says, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? And then he says he cried with a loud voice and yielded up his ghost. That's the way Matthew finishes. Okay, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
That veil was between holy place and most holy place. The Aaron or the high priest can go there once a year only. And he ministers there, and if he did something wrong, and if he dies there, not a single person can go to the most holy place. So that's why he had the rope tied to his rope so they can pull him, but they cannot go in. And that veil was not ordinary veil. That was like a 4-inch thick. And they said even the 6 or 8 horses this way and this way, they tried to tear apart that veil, it will not be broken. But the word of God says, as soon as Jesus died, that veil was torn from top to bottom. What God was trying to tell these people? God was saying, now there is no need of sacrifice. God was satisfied. And now there is no need for the high priest to go there in the most holy place. The word of God says, if you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, now Jesus Christ became our high priest. So now, door is open, there is no veil, nothing. We can come to the presence of God without any veil. And a book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, when Moses is read, you have still veil on your faces. What does it mean? Moses is read means, if you're studying the Old Testament or observing the Old Testament rules and regulation, you have still veil. But in Christ, the veil is taken it away. From that day until today, there is no sacrifice, and sacrifice completely stopped from that day. Now, there is another thing happened, he says, earthquake, rock also were shattered because of earthquake, and the tombs were open. Now, the tombs were open on Friday, but nobody was able to come out. The day Jesus died, somebody say Friday, somebody says Thursday. But the day Jesus died, the grave were open, but they were not able to come out. They were only able to come out when the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the people were able to see them. So the Jesus Christ is called the first fruit of resurrection. There was no other person was resurrected before that. Jairus' daughter or that widow's son, or even the Lazarus, they were risen, but they died. Jesus Christ is the only one. When he came out of the grave, he never died. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And some Muslim people do not want to see that Jesus was dead. They said they changed somebody when the darkness was on earth. Do you know that we read a few minutes ago, there was darkness from sixth hour to the ninth hour. Means it was a noonday. And noonday, sun was shining, heat was there, and everything was there. But from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, sun was completely dark. But Jesus Christ, what he says, I am the light of the world. And when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, they were mocking, they were saying something, they were hitting him and everything. But once the darkness came from, what you call, 12 to 3, not a single person was able to do anything. Now just think, pitch dark, and all the lights are off, and middle of the night, and there is no light at all. You will be not able to walk if you are in a jungle. And what happens then, a thick darkness, you cannot do anything, you cannot go anywhere, but you can hear something in a quiet time. In the night time, now this wristwatch is not, you are not able to hear, I cannot hear it. But in the night time, midnight, if I keep this near my bed, I can hear the ticking. Why? Because of the quietness. So what happened when this quietness was there, and sun was not shining, and pitch dark? They can only hear the sound of the blood. Tick, tick, tick. And what that blood was saying? Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it says. What it says? What that blood is saying? It's saying better things than the blood of Abel. So what the blood of Abel was saying? Revenge. What the blood of Jesus Christ is saying? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, go back to Matthew.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Now, I told you when we were reading, they were sitting and watching. So who were sitting? There were so many people standing. But all these soldiers, they did their part, they crucified him, they did everything, and some of them were sitting and watching. And one soldier wanted to see if he's dead, and he poked in his heart, and the blood and water came. And then they said he felt that he was the Son of God. But here, all of those people were sitting and watching. And what they watched? They watched the earthquake, they watched the, what you call, darkness. They watch what Jesus Christ was saying on the cross, and these people's heart were changed. Not only one soldier, but many of them got saved at that particular time. Go a little further. Okay.
And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children.
Now here it says, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Now somebody says, where was Mary, mother of Jesus? She's the one. They did not say the Mary, mother of Jesus, but they say Mary, mother of James and Joseph. Those were her other children. And so she was there. And so many people say she didn't have any other children, but the Word of God says she had other children, and we prove it to you many times from the Word of God. I don't have time right now to go and prove it to you from the other scriptures. Okay, verse 57.
When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered.
Now, can you imagine, this Joseph the Arimathea was a secret disciple of Jesus Christ, just like a Nicodemus. And there were so many secret disciples. But this Joseph was not ordinary man. He was noble man. He was a rich man. He was a godly man. And he was like a friend of Jesus. And this man comes and goes to the Pilate. Now, Pilate cannot give to Jesus' body to anybody else. But he is like a millionaire, billionaire. And so, people, when you have money, money talks. So he didn't ask a question. He hand over the body to the Joseph. Okay, go ahead.
And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre.
He thought Jesus Christ is more worthy than me, and he gave it to Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the John chapter 19, verse 38 to 42.
And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury.
Go back to the Matthew, start reading from 61.
And there was Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.
Can you imagine? Jesus Christ already suffered and died. What's the word they're using? Deceiver. He did not deceive anybody. But sinner, these people were sinners. They have no compassion. They have no love. And they are talking about they are religious people. They are acting like a more worse than criminal. And they are saying, this deceiver said that he will rise again third day. So we want some kind of government protection. And so he said, okay, it's in your power. Means you have money, you do it. Do you know if you have some function? And you call the city, say, I want some police officers to come in. What they say? If you have money, we will send some officers. So more the money, more the officers will come and protect you. And so same thing. So these people say, okay, we have the money, we'll give you the money, and you protect the tomb. And he says those ladies were sitting there, and they were watching where the tomb is. What was their idea? We will learn next week. Their idea was, we see the tomb, and we'll come Sunday morning, and we'll put more spices. And that's what they were sitting there and watching where the tomb was. Verse 64, please read.
Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.
And so what was the last error? We did the error, maybe we killed him, but rising again, it will be much more worse. So they didn't want anything. They had no courage to give us the body, and we'll keep the body, and we'll protect the body, but they thought government will do the greater job, more than us, because Jesus' followers were multitudes of people. When Jesus Christ was died, and if they took it to Pharisees, to their place, to watch over him or bury him and take care of him, surely some people will come and do some harm to those people. So they thought it's better to give it to the government. And government said, okay, take the police officer, take the whatever the army or soldiers you want, give the money and do it. And the word of God said, did it.
Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
Now, they did everything possible, and they thought, we got him. But God willing, we'll see next time. We already know Jesus Christ is already risen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.